He believes that probably better. Is
all right.
I heard the beep.
I heard the beep as well. Acts chapter 16 in our continuation of the study of the book of Acts. Again, the book of Acts being a transitional book. It transitions right from the ascension of Christ into heaven after his resurrection. Peter and the 12 pick up and they start the church of God at Jerusalem, teaching exactly what the Lord prepared them to do, what the Lord taught them to do. And you find those teachings in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the 12 get on with it. Then we get to Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen. A young man named Saul is the ringleader. Saul is saved in Acts 9. And then we actually wait a couple years, Acts 13, Paul preaches for, his name is changed from Saul to Paul. He preaches for the first time in your Bible in Acts 13, as far as the accounting of it. And it's the first time the gospel of Christ is preached. And from that point on, it's a transition then from the church that the 12 had started to the doctrine in church, which is the body of Christ that Paul started. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16 that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern for them which should hereafter believe. Paul was the first one saved into the body of Christ, and he's a pattern for everyone after that, and that comes right up to the year 2013 and further, until the rapture, whenever that is. We don't know when the calling out of the body of Christ is, 1 Thessalonians 4. But whenever that happens, that's when this dispensation ends and the next dispensation begins. And you don't want to be here for that. It's called the period of great tribulation. I guess I should have my timeline going right now. That would have been good right there. But anyway, so where we are today are in Acts 16. Last week was the Council of Jerusalem. Paul went to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and the 12, showed them his distinct calling, his doctrine, and at the end, they all shook hands in agreement, and Paul was to take his gospel, as Galatians 2 is his accounting of Acts 15, he would take the gospel of the uncircumcision to the heathen, and to the uncircumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision being the gospel of Christ. And Peter would take the gospel of the circumcision, which is the gospel of the kingdom, to the circumcision. And so they continued, but at the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, the Jews will become, lo am I, not my people. And today there's one doctrine only, and that is the doctrine you can find in your Bible in Romans to Philemon. Okay, the 13 books written by the Apostle Paul, and he tells us how many times that he is the Apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, so the dispensation of the grace of God in Ephesians chapter 3. Any of you ever studying the book of Ephesians? Romans and Ephesians. People have always said, hey, if we're working with somebody who just gets saved, what should they read? Book of Romans. When they finish out, what should they read next? Book of Romans. And after that, book of Romans three times. Then read the book of Ephesians. When you finish that, Romans, Ephesians. Just really get that down. Okay, all the doctrine that you'll ever need. I don't mean to exclude the rest, okay, but the most important two, there you go. And matter of fact, we're even going to talk about Romans in the second hour today. Okay, Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he, so who's he? It's Paul from verse 40, and Paul chose Silas, departed being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he, so Paul, this is who we are, right? We're in Acts 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek. Okay. In those days, and let me make sure I'm clear on this, and in a sense, he is a half-breed. Okay, he's half-Jewish, he's half-Gentile. And in those days, that's a half-breed of the worst sort almost. That's just the way the Jews looked at Greeks, at Gentiles. All right, that was about the worst type of half-breed you could be, was half Jew, half Gentile in those days. All right, I want to make sure I'm clear on that.
He would not have been allowed in the temple.
He would not have been allowed in the temple, is correct.
Or the synagogue.
No, he could go to the synagogue. He could not go into the temple.
Okay.
Yep. Verse 2, his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him, Timotheus, would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took him and circumcised him. Well, why would he do that? Oh, next phrase. Because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. All right, Paul had to circumcise Timotheus, not for any religious reason as far as Paul's doctrine is concerned, the gospel of Christ, okay, but because of the Jews. Very clear there that it's because of the Jews. By the way, so let's go ahead and turn to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I've always said, never follow what you see Paul do in the book of Acts. Follow what he teaches in the books of Romans to Philemon. And this is going to be a good example. You know, Paul circumcises Timotheus. Don't worry, guys, I'm not going to suggest that if you are not circumcised, we're going to make sure you get that done now. All right, don't worry. There is no reason for spiritual application. I'm just going to stop the whole conversation right there.
So did he do that to prove to the Jews that this guy's worthy, Timotheus?
To prove that he was worthy, no. To make him worthy to stand in front of them, yes. All right, now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 17. And Paul, talking about him, says, at the end of actually 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And watch these next two verses now. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Okay? So the point is, that's why you can't follow what you see him do. Nobody can do that today. So for him to be able to preach to the Jews, and for Timotheus, for your question, he had to, because, of course, he was a Jew. He was a Jew of the Jews, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But he had to do everything to meet Jewish law and custom. And to bring Timotheus with him, he had to do that as well. Okay, Barnabas and Silas, that wasn't a problem because they were already Jews. Okay? But Timotheus, he had to do this. And to be able to put him in front of Jews. For anybody under the law, they had to be following the law. You don't have to do that today. Okay, there's plenty of people that do that, and they're called self-righteous. But you don't have to do that to be able to preach and teach them the gospel of Christ. For that matter, you would be against Scripture to do that. Let's use an example. For example, the Assemblies of God. You know, who would say you've got to speak in tongues or you're not yet saved? That's their evidence. Again, their evidence, not in agreement with Scripture that Paul tells us in Romans to Philemon. So if I were to go to if they asked me to come and preach the gospel of Christ, I wouldn't go to an Assemblies of God. Or if you were asked, you wouldn't go to Assemblies of God and go in there and speak in tongues. All right? so that they would then listen to you. That would be wrong to do. Just as, sort of as an example of what we see going on here with Timotheus. All right, back to Acts 16. All right, because of the Jews, that's a key phrase in verse 3. Because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, we studied that last week. Let's just flip back chapter 15, verse 19. These are the four decrees that were put on Paul to take wherever he went. Verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they, and here's the four decrees, abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. The four decrees placed on the Gentiles. And in Acts 16, here we are, you see Paul absolutely following that. And James, the half-brother of Christ, is the one that delivered that message. That was another transition we saw going on there in Acts 15. All right, back to chapter 16 now. Verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Okay, Paul's getting on with it. They're growing. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. It's amazing, you know, sometimes it's just one little phrase, but how much stuff, how much meat can be in one little phrase. Did you really catch what just happened at the end of verse 6? Paul and Timotheus were forbidden. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? It was called the forbidden fruit, right? At the back there in Genesis, the forbidden fruit. No, thou shalt not. No way, forbidden. Right here, they were forbidden. Well, what were they forbidden to do? To preach the word in Asia. Paul and Timotheus were forbidden. We're going to look at that in a minute. By the way, who is the one that forbade them? The Holy Ghost, your Bible tells you right there in verse 6. The Holy Ghost forbids Paul and Timotheus to preach the word in Asia. Let's keep reading verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Whoa! Once again, who is the one that suffered them not? The Spirit. All right, now that's a capital S in my Bible. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit suffers them not to go into these two towns that are in Asia. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them in Macedonia. And this is Europe. And if you will, let's try a little bit of a map here. Let's make this Africa, and then the Red Sea comes up here. So over here would be Israel in this area. And then it comes over and sort of like that. So Asia being over here, Europe being over here, Paul and Timotheus are above Israel, they're up in this area. They try to go this way. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the one that said, no, you will. No, you're not going that direction. Then he gets a vision to go this direction and begins, you know, so that's supposed to be Greece and that's Italy. I guess I better define my...
We got the boot.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so he goes to Europe and begins his European ministry to, you know, who do you find there? Gentiles. He begins his European ministry and his, just like when it was in Acts 9, it was told to Ananias, who was the one that went, put his hand on Paul, he gets his vision back, but it was told to him, thou shalt go to the Gentiles. And I definitely didn't quote that right, so I'm going to go back. Acts chapter 9, this special message. Verse 13, then Ananias answered. So this is the Lord and Ananias. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Okay, so his message, his doctrine, not only is it different doctrine, but it's for a different group of people. All right, back to 16 now. So he's not allowed to go to Asia. Well, why in the world would the Holy Spirit forbid these people in Asia to hear the word, the special, this great message that Paul has? I mean, think about that. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, not want these people, if this is such a great message that Paul has, and distinct message, a new message, and which it is, it's the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again for our justification. And all we have to do is believe that and trust in that and that alone for our salvation, and we're saved. I mean, how much easier does it get? For thousands of years up until this time point, it had been the works of the law. You had to keep the works. Even when Peter and the 12 start, you've still got to do the works. You've got to believe the right things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of the living God. But you've got to continue to work for your salvation and endure to the end. Did you make sure that's still going? Maybe it was just a... It is. It's just a glare. That's all right.
It's ticking away.
So, why would the Holy Spirit not allow him to go there and then get a vision to go this way? Don't these people deserve to hear the gospel of Christ?
Amen.
Let's take a look at some things here. First of all, verse 7. They asked to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just a little bit before Revelation, 1 Peter. Now, before I read that, you keep 1 Peter 1:1. That's where we're going. But I just want to read Acts 16, verses 6 and 7 again. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, so he's going to tell us who he's writing to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Whoa! That sound like some cities and places we just named back there in Acts 16? Of course, the answer is yes. That's exactly where Paul was not allowed to go. You can't miss that. And it wasn't just Paul had a feeling he shouldn't go. No, the Spirit suffered him not. He was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty strong words. I don't know. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Romans chapter 15.
Would that be the seven churches that are mentioned there in Revelation?
I'm not going to go there right now. Thank you.
Okay.
Romans 15. Watch what Paul says. Again, always follow what Paul teaches in his doctrine. Watch what Paul says about this episode, which would include this episode. So, I'm going to pick it up at the end of verse 19 of Romans chapter 15. He says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Which gospel? You know, he just said at the end of verse 15, the gospel of Christ. Verse 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Exactly what Paul says about this. He couldn't go there because that would be building upon Peter's foundation. Paul says in Romans 15, which he writes, by the way, we're in Acts 16, right? Paul writes the book of Romans in what chapter? Acts chapter 20, exactly. Okay, Acts chapter 20 is when the book of Acts is written.
Thank you,
gold star. Yeah. Okay, so he doesn't write that for a time period later, but it sure applies to here. Okay, so he couldn't go because that's where Peter and the 12 went. Where Peter went. We have no story anywhere, no accounting anywhere in your Bible that any of the other of the 12 ever left Jerusalem. Okay, so back to Acts 16 now.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit's forbidding them, Paul, the group, to go into Asia.
Yes.
Did the Holy Spirit forbid Peter's group to come down into Paul's area?
So we have no accounting for that, but again, we have no accounting that any of them ever left Jerusalem, except for Peter, three occasions.
Yeah, that was Peter, I guess.
But the rest, never. They didn't go with him. Like when Peter went to Cornelius,
yeah,
it was just Peter that went. None of the other of the 12 went with him. So no, we have no, there's no accounting wherever.
It's almost like Peter was like, yeah, I can go. Like to Galatia, when he was in Galatia, right?
Yeah.
What we were talking about when Paul is correcting him. It's almost like Peter had no idea why he shouldn't be there. Because I guess what I'm getting at is the Holy Ghost evidently didn't have the same effect on Peter and forbid him.
Well, he didn't go. Maybe because he never needed to, because Peter was never going to go to somewhere that Paul went. Paul was starting to go somewhere that Peter went. Therefore, he had to be stopped.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so Acts 16. And by the way, so Paul's accounting would be Galatians 2 of what we're talking about here. In Galatians 2, when they basically extended... So let's go there rather than talk about it. Galatians 2. Well, that's just in 2:7 is when Paul says that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter as the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Paul, or unto me, Paul. Okay? Now back to Acts 16. I'm trying to move ahead here. I see I'm running out of time. Okay, the other thing in verse 10 of Acts 16 is you see the word, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. That would be the first time, so we, again, who's writing? To whom are they writing? So the book of Acts. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Every reason to believe Luke wrote it. And he says, we endeavored. This would be the first time that you see Luke including himself at the place. So immediately, we endeavored. Paul is now with... Luke is now with Paul. And there's good reason to believe he's pretty much with him the rest of the time here. Okay? So it is a first-hand accounting of what's going to happen in Acts 17, 18, 19, 20, which are... That's a time period that the Acts epistles that Paul wrote, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Okay, so verse 10, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them, the Europeans, the Gentiles. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, that place. And the next day, to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. Okay, therefore it's a colony of Rome. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, and you're going to find that Lydia is very important in the life of Paul. Really for the rest of, you know, many other places here, not just here. Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Okay, to attend, to hold near. Okay, she attended to the things spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Okay, and again, you're going to see Paul go there again in the future. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, so this is a different woman, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's a fortune teller, gang. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, now I want you to watch these words carefully that this fortune teller, following right behind Paul, starts saying. Saying, verse 17, these men are the servants of the Most High God. True or false?
True.
Absolutely true. Which show unto us the way of salvation. True or false?
True.
Absolutely true. And this did she many days. Stop reading, please. So everything she's saying is
true.
True as can be. Right? And this, and she's doing this for days.
So now what's the problem?
Let's keep reading in verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved. Whoa. Why would he be grieved about this, I wonder? Well, let's see. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Whoa. Paul's grieved about what she's doing, what she's saying. That these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And that grieves Paul. And he commands that spirit to come out of her. Wow. Okay, ladies, let's just read, and well, let's all read, not just the ladies, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your hand here, we're coming back to it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Okay? That's just the words in your Bible. And coming back to Acts 16, so that's one reason that Paul could have been grieved. The second is she's doing this in the name of the almighty dollar. Right? Verse 16 said, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Then 17, 18, he commands the spirit to come out. Now verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Now they didn't, that verse wasn't before she started saying these men are of the Most High God and teach unto us the way of salvation. It wasn't until the spirits called out of her that verse 19, and when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They're worried about their back pocket first. And we see that again in Ephesus, don't we? The men making shrines to the great goddess Diana. Same thing happens there. Demetrius, they're all worried about their pocketbook first. All right. So for those two reasons, Paul's very grieved. The woman's not to usurp authority over the man, he tells us in 1 Timothy 2. And the second is, people saying things, even though if it's right doctrine, if they're doing it for filthy lucre's sake, the Bible calls it in other passages, as she would have been doing here for the wrong reasons. Those would be two reasons that Paul was grieved by this. Okay.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Spirit of divination.
Yes. Soothsayer. Soothsayer, fortune teller.
But the spirit part. I mean, is that like a possession spirit?
It had to be.
Because he called
that spirit out of her, so it would have to be. So the question for the tape is a spirit of possession. She's possessed of a spirit, an evil spirit.
Right. So Paul cast out a demon.
And Paul cast out that demon, if you will, yes. Okay. Verse 22 now. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, beat them with whips, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In Acts chapter 2, when the multitudes basically said, "What must we do to be saved?" to Peter, what did he say in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Verse 31, when this jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." He didn't tell them to do anything, did he? He just said, "Believe. Believe." And so it is today. Just believe. Just believe in the gospel of Christ and trust in that and that alone. Don't do anything. Stop trying and start trusting. That's all we have to do to be saved today. Yes, sir.
And at this point, we see household salvation.
Continuing?
Well, that and bring it to your house, and this is how you'll be saved as well. Okay?
Same way.
Yes, same way. Exactly.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A pattern which for them which should hereafter believe. Okay? And they spake unto the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So they went to his house and spake the word unto them as well. And he took... So does that answer your question there, Mike?
I'm just thinking about the time frame of where we are in the book of Acts. And when he writes Corinthians, talking about the believing husband or wife...
Sanctified is the word that's always used. Sanctified, to be set apart, to be set aside. It doesn't say that the unbelieving spouse is saved. It says they are sanctified.
That's a good point.
Okay? So no, I don't believe that household salvation... Now, and I'm saying I don't believe the Bible shows us that. Mm-hmm. I do believe that the Bible shows us that children... And I don't know if there's a exact age... Or if it's when that child gets to the age where they can fully comprehend.
Right.
But children are sanctified by the believing mother, by the believing, the saved father. Again, a whole other study there. But anyway, let's look at this. Is this household salvation? Here's what your Bible says. Verse 31. And they said, so Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in thy house. Okay, so those in the house still had to hear the word of the Lord. They weren't just saved because the jailer believed and was saved. That's the way I would the way I would take that to say. Verse 33 now. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, that same Lydia back in verse 14. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Okay? So the end of chapter 16 there. So next week we'll be able to get right into verse 17. You're going to see a pattern start. Let's read the first two verses. So now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That's the pattern we're going to see in the book of Acts for Paul. Whenever he goes to a new town, he goes to the synagogues first. It says, as his manner was, went in unto them. Who's the them? It's the end of verse 1, a synagogue of the Jews. That's the difference between Paul's Acts epistles versus Paul's prison epistles. During the book of Acts, when he writes Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, he's going to the Jew first. And also to the Greek. And then when we get to the 7 prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon, it's no longer Jew first. As Ephesians tells us, there's one new man. The Acts period believers of Paul, of the gospel of Christ that got saved during the book of Acts, become one with the people that become saved under the Acts period, under the prison period, after Acts 28. That's what Acts 2 really shows us, and Acts 3. And he calls it one new man, a new creature in Christ. Those two groups becoming the same, that's when the middle wall partition is taken down between them, and they're one new man, okay? So, next week we'll get into Acts 17. And continue our study there. Brian, if you can cut the camera, that'd be great. And I thank you for your diligence. And you notice how quickly these are always put right up on the internet.